Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord once again. So many things that God has done for us, and well, God has brought us to a place where we are right now in America. And I pray tonight as we come on the radio station with nothing but the word. We don't have time for foolishness, but God has been so good to us. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Messiah, we bless your name tonight, and we thank you for everything that you have done for us. You brought to us and brought us a closer walk with you. Father, this night I declare and I decree, your name is above every name. Everything we're about to say is to bring somebody to a closer walk with you. Somebody in the darkness that don't know Jesus, they will come to know your son, Jesus Christ. They will come to know that through him all things are possible. And Father, tonight I pray that you will bless me with knowledge and wisdom and understanding. I thank you once again. Amen. So tonight I want to talk to you for the next few minutes that I have here. But I want to show you what God has said in the word. I want to take it to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1 and verse 5. I want to talk something because the war is getting ready to take forth, and we got to understand where we are and how we stand in that war. So I'm going to take my time, give you a few words. For, here's what it says, ninth verse, brother. But we see Jesus was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. But it became him for whom all are things, and by whom all are things, and bringing many sons into glory, to make the captains of their salvation perfect through suffering, for both in sacrifice, and that they are sanctified all are one. For which cause he will not be ashamed to call him that brethren. And so, as I look at what the Bible is saying tonight, I talk about the name of Jesus. One of the things I would have you to understand, there are some things that we have to understand how Jesus obtained his great name. It was by birth. It was by inheritance. Hebrews chapter verse 1 and 4. And I was reading it. Hebrews being made a little better than angels, as he has been inherited, obtained a more excellent name than they. So that's proof. And in my read Philippians 2 and 5, it points out. But those three things give us a know. But as I look a little deep into the word and begin to understand his God and said, I take us to the book Corinthians 15:24-28, where God, because there's a war going on, but God had his son to bring it to the finality. But God, hearing the witness of both signs and wonder, and with dire miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. And so when I look back and look at 1 Corinthians, when I look at 1 Corinthians, bear with me, 1 Corinthians 15, yes, Lord. God is so good. 1 Corinthians 15, somebody should have it written down. I do have it written down. 1 Corinthians, Jesus is so good that his mercy endures forever. And the more we walk with God, the more God begins to talk with us and show us what he wants to do. And as I look into the word, and in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verses 24, it says, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, as Jesus delivered the kingdom up to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule on all authorities and power. For he must reign till he put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy shall be destroyed is death. For he has put under his feet. But when he set all things on his feet, it is manifested that he is, except which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also shall be subject unto him, to that put all things unto him, that God may be all in all in all. I see what God is saying. He's given us an act to take a look at what God is saying. He says in the word here, he points it out candidly. He said, all things but be put unto him. See, Jesus is going to deliver the kingdom of God. When all of us who have come before him, the quick and dead shall rise, we who shall be with the Lord shall be caught up together. And he's going to deliver us the kingdom of God, the Father, even he has put down the rule. See, there's more fighting in the world today we live in. There are more different powers, more different governments fighting against each other, lying on each other, battling against each other, in the families, around home. But God is saying, it cometh the end of a second sinful career. And I take a note and read what God is saying. And the more I look into the word here, and he says that when he shall put down all rule, not some rule, all rule. Didn't say it, all rule and all authority and power. We know the devil had some rule, he had some power, he had some on the dark side. But God's going to bring it, hallelujah, God's going to bring it all into his understanding through his Son, Jesus Christ, that everything may be made perfect in him. As I read and look what God is saying, for he might reign, he must reign, he got to reign, till all be put under his feet, under his all enemies. Are you an enemy of God? Please don't be an enemy of God. Because you're an enemy of God, God's going to put you under his feet. When God puts you on his feet, he's going to bring you to a place of understanding that you can't live here, you can't live here, you can't live here. But I want you to understand, the last enemy, here's the importance of what I'm seeing. The last enemy, why not all the money I used to own? Why not? But the last enemy that shall be destroyed shall be, you mean God's going to destroy death? How is that possible? Here's what he says. For he has put all things under his feet. Now, when you put something under your feet, it means you have authority. You destroy something. When you destroy something, you put it on your feet, it's dead, it can't move. Lucifer is going to be put under the feet of Jesus Christ. It's going to put under the feet of God, under the feet of the Holy Spirit. And here's what it says. And all things shall be subject unto him. All things. Then shall the Son, Jesus the Christ, also himself be subject unto him. Jesus said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. He's subject unto him. He said, and put all things unto him, that God may be all in all. So I see what God is saying to all of us. When I go back and what God is saying, I look at the book of Matthew 25:31. Let me go to Matthew 25:31, what God is saying to all of us. See, God wants us to be aware. And the more I begin to ask, well, Lord, Matthew 24 and 25. He says here in the book, my God, let me make sure I got it right. Matthew 25:31. And ye shall send his angels with a great shout. Here it is. But in verse 30, let me take that. It says, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in the heaven. That's Jesus. And then shall all tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming out of the clouds of heaven glory, with power and great glory. And he shall send, listen now, and he shall send his angels with great sounds of a trumpet. And they shall gather all his elect from the four winds, even to the end of the other world. My God. See, the God we're talking about is so powerful. God is saying to us, he said, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. And when we got the Bible to pinpoint us and show us, the more we study God's word, the more we see what God is saying. And also, as I began to read that Bible and see what else God is saying, in Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. Colossians. My God, so good. Isn't that the Galatians? And when you read that book, you see some what God is saying. He's so good. God is so merciful until his mercy endures forever. The more we just trust God, the more we just say, God, I'm on your team. And see, what God is saying, he said, I want you to get right. I want you to get ready because I'm on my way back. I want you to hear what God is saying to us. And the more I begin to see what God is saying, when I get to Colossians chapter 2:14, I see what God says to us. And when I read 2:14, are you with me? Blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us. Ordinances, the laws of the land, doing wrong, this and that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holiday, or in the new moon or the Sabbath, which are a shadow. Listen to this now from the Old Testament. It's a shadow of things to come, but the body is Christ. My God. See, the body is Christ. When the sun shines during the day, we can see Jesus walking in somebody. But there is a shadow. But when I read this word, I begin to get, in whom all things of wisdom and knowledge, and hid in him all treasures of knowledge, wisdom and knowledge. See, but I would have you know what God is saying to me more than he is to you, because it's blessing me. When I sit back and say, well, Lord, you know you're a great God. You're more than a great God. You're the one. When I read Revelation, Jude 14, I see what God is saying. God is saying to us, my God, he's saying to us, when I read Jude chapter 1, verse 14, when I read it, it blesses me so. It blesses me. So how do you know it blesses me? Because it calls fire to fire up in my spirit, man. It called me to see what God is saying. And see, right now, I see so much killing going on in the Middle East. I see where America is trying to say, we're not going to let we're going to put Palestine up. Listen, God don't need no help when God can be doing it himself by the Spirit. And what a lot of folks are not coming to realize, God is the author and the finisher of everything. All a man trying to do is do what he wants to do, because it make him think that he's so big and so powerful. But he's not. Here's what it says in Jude chapter 1 and 14. Is a prophecy about Enoch. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied these things. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. Oh, to execute judge upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them that are ungodly deeds, and that I have an ungodly committed, and out of the hard speeches which ungodly sins have been spoken against the person. What am I saying? God has given us an opportunity to come to the reality of what God is doing right now. And the more we take God at his word and say, Lord, have mercy upon me. I come before you right now. I understand that I'm a sinner. I'm lost beyond my understanding. I need somebody to teach me your way, to show me your path that I might be right. I'm coming to you right now. Somebody out there is in a place right now where they're in a dark, dark place. But Jesus is saying, I'm on my way back. My words I'm speaking. But he said, behold, he cometh with 10,000 of his angels. I just got to read in the book of Matthew. But I'm seeing over in the book of Jude, where here's a man prophesied the seventh son from the seventh person from Adam. Prophesied. Prophecy started back then, but he prophesied that God's going to come back with 10,000 of his angels. Why? The angels are pure. God Almighty. They're pure, and they was, oh, I tell you, God is so good. Why is God so good? Because his mercy endures forever. And I want you to know something tonight. For the angels has he not put on the subject the world to come, but when he spoke, but a certain place testified. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visit him? So here is a profound question. Why did God visit him? Because it has a promise that God had through his son, Jesus Christ. His son, Jesus Christ, could do with Moses, could do with Adam, could do with Abraham, because none of them could come to the cross with the sins and be sinless. Jesus was sinless. He knew no sin. Like me, I knew sin in my body because I was through my father Abram, through my father Adam, through Adam, sin entered in by one man, but one another man sin entered out the world. That's why God sent his son, Jesus Christ, that he might take, read my read in the book of 1 Corinthians 15, where God said, he came to this body, all sin is going to come under him. He's going to destroy all of that. See, what I want us to understand, by the faith we walk by the faith we live by, I want to take it to a scripture, Revelation 11, 15. Revelation, a lot of folks say, I don't like a revelation. I know revelation is a lot of stuff, but it's a consistency. And the more you begin to read the Bible, the closer we get in the Bible, and the more God is saying to us. If you go into school somewhere, it's always good to go somewhere. But let me tell you something. Paul said, all that I have, I call it as nothing, that I might know that name that's above every name, all the degrees, all the money I have. He said, I just want to know Jesus. Why do I want to know him? I want to know him better than what I know him, because he's the one. When I read Revelation 11, 15, I find these words, God is so good. Is he good to you? Is he good to you? 11 and 15, God speaks. He says these words. And the seven angels sounded as a great voice from us saying, the kingdom of this world and become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever. The put down, good God Almighty, the put down of all the wrong stuff that's going on around us, the lying, the sinning, the backsliding, the cheating, the murdering, the lying, not giving God the glory, not praising him, not giving him shout. But God is saying to us, hallelujah. When I read in 12 and 17, it draws me to a little closer with God is up. Revelation 12 and 7. And it be given unto make war. See, listen at this. There was a war that the devil, and he blessed, see, when I read Revelation 11 and 12, it said, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things of blasphemer, and power was given unto to continue 42 months. Oh my God. And he opened his mouth and blasphemed against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and they that dwell in heaven. Now here's what the war on the saints. Lucifer, the fallen angel and all of his demon angels, they made war against the body of Christ. And here's what God said. And a great war, my God Almighty. And a great war, my God Almighty. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him, all kindreds and tongues of the nation. What God is, the war went on in that heaven. But when you go back and take what God has said, if we can stay faithful, listen, beloved, when we stay faithful to what God is saying to us, we're going to have a war. We're having a war every time we live on this body. There is a war going on. There is a war going on. What kind of war? It's a war that God has ordained. Why he did it? Because he wanted to show the enemy, Lucifer, he don't have no power. He don't have no power. He don't have no power. When I read Revelation 19:11, I tell you, God is so good. He's so good. And he just angels. He didn't put him in something. No, he didn't. But the angel looked on and said, what is this you're doing, God? We don't understand it. God said, you know what? God knew what he was doing. He put in Jesus Christ in the subject of everything. Now I read 12 and 19. I want to show you something else God has shown me. 11 and 20. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 20. Let me back up. I'm a little too far. But see, sometimes I understand, God, what you're doing. And he's so good to me. I know what I stand. I know who I am. But the more I feel the presence of God, the more I can understand. And it says in Revelation 11 and 20, 11 and 20, Revelation chapter 11, verse 20, God says something. Oh, yes, he does. Yes, he does. He says something. He says something. 11 and 20. Have I passed it up? He wrote, and the temple was open in heaven, and there was seen in the temple the ark of his testament. And there was lightning and voices and thunder and earthquakes with great hail. What God is saying, God is getting me and you ready as believers to come be with the Father. He's getting us so ready to get right with him. All I can tell you is this, is that the God we serve is so awesome. He can do anything he wants, but he loves us so much until he says, listen, I love you so much. I want you to be with me. Why do we have to fight for our brothers and sisters and tell them, some declare, I don't think I know much. I just know what God has done through his son, Jesus Christ, what he's done for me. I know sometimes I slip, but God forgive because I come back and I repent. Well, what you do in repent? Well, every time I live in this flesh, and this flesh is going to always have to fight with me. The flesh doesn't want to submit unto the authority of God. Why? Because it says, I'm in charge, and I'm going to fight it till the day I came no more. And that's all that the enemy is doing. He's fighting. The flesh is an enemy. We're going to write a book about it. The flesh is an enemy because the flesh will not submit. It will not submit. The day it was born, it wasn't going to do it. When I read Romans 11 and 20, I find something what God is saying once again. In verse 20, 11 and 20, 11 and 20, Revelation 11, Revelation 11, and if I pass it up, just 12 and 19, or that's what it is, 20 and 15. See, God is, sometimes God give me the scripture, but when I pass over them, God has to give me another way. He does it so much. When I was reading the book, see, I read the book once. I'm going to read it again. Because when we can do that, we get so much knowledge of what God is doing in his word. So I'm in Revelation 20. Are you with me? Are you with me? Well, thank you for being there. Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. Here's what God is speaking to us. Here's what he's speaking to us in 15. Ah, dear. And whatsoever was not found, oh my God. Oh my God. And whatsoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Oh my God. What? Yes. God said in Revelation 20 and 11, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, who faced the earth and heaven fled away and was found no place for them. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of these things were that written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead. My God. See, first he said, I saw the dead, small and great. Then he said, the books, when the books up, he opened up two books, the book of life and death. But I see what he said, and the sea gave up that dead. And death and hell delivered up the dead. What? Three different places it was, the sea, the water, death and hell gave up that dead. Why? Because they have to be judged. Oh, Jesus, I love you. I love you so much. And there, join every man according to thy word. And the death and hell cast in the lake of fire. This was the second death. And whosoever was not, see, the first death was a physical death, but it was an eternal death. And I'm praying today, I'm praying tonight, I'm believing that God is going to give me a right in passage because I'm pleading with him in this frail body I live in and the thoughts that I have. I said, Lord, you come to my spirit and make me aware of your word. Sometimes I see what God is saying. Sometimes I hear what God is saying. But because I have to fight against my flesh said, I wouldn't do that right now. I just do, see, but if I keep my mind stayed on him and take what the Bible said, let this mind that was in you, that was in Christ, be in you also. So I have to keep the mind of Christ. Christ overcame death. He overcame it. God helped them as God going to help us. But I want you to know this much, our God is such an awesome God. I tell God, the Messiah, my God Almighty, I want to just take the time right now and say, God bless you and God hearing you. May God keep you. Here's what I will leave with you from the book of Hebrews chapter 2. Therefore, we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which are heard, least at any time we shall let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, every transgression and disobedience received a just compensation with reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed by us that heard him? God also bearing from witnesses, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. I'm going to tell you, I just thank God tonight that I'm been on this radio station tonight. I pray God I'll help somebody tonight. And tonight, I just say so much to you. My time is up. May God bless you and may God keep you. I think now we have Pastor Princess Love. Are you there?
Praise the Lord, Dr. Hunter. How you doing tonight?
I'm blessing you.
I'm blessed and highly, highly favored. I sound a little hoarse, but I'm doing great. I don't feel like I sound. I sure did enjoy you. I was hoping you would go on for the whole hour because I was following you with these scriptures. Matter of fact, I'm going to take off where you left off in the Revelation chapter 13. I'm gonna say 13:9 in the beginning, but I'm going to verse 8 back up. I'm gonna go down. If any man have an ear, let him hear. That's that's Revelation 13:9. But I'm gonna be coming from Revelation 13:8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Glory to God. Let us pray. Almighty Father God, glorious, wonderful, Abba Father, I come thanking you. I praise you. I enter into your gates with praise and thanksgiving. Humble as I can possibly get myself, because you are a consuming fire. And I kneel, yield, and give myself to you, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for Dr. Hunter, for his teaching, for the word that was overflowing through him. We thank you, Lord, for your word. For your word say, it is better than life. It's better than silver and gold. Your word is better than anything that we could have ever deserved. We thank you, Father, for the revelation of your word, for the understanding of your word, for the mighty anointing of the Holy flows through us and to us for them, for those that will be engrafted or be enlightened in you. Oh, glorious Father, we love you. We worship you in that wonderful, glorious name that is that unspeakable gift that you have placed in us. We thank you for it. In that name, Yeshua, HaMashiach, Jesus, we're English, Jesus the Christ. Glorious God, we thank you. Amen. Amen. I'm so glad to be on tonight. Like I say, I'm hoarse. I have a busy day on Sundays. I do with Bishop Keith, two, and some weeks we do three nursing homes. So I like to rest on Mondays. I like to replenish on Mondays. But I've been on the radio program on Monday nights for many years also. And then I'm on Tuesday morning on The Watchman at 6 to 6:30 with Brother Charles and Sister Yvonne, The Watchman. So I will give that number out to, before I leave, so that those who might want to be on The Watchman, we would gladly and love for you to have. It is a prayer line, and it is very, very inviting for your spirit to be, for those who, everybody is, none of us are on the same level. The Word of God even teaches that in Romans. It says, we have not all received the same measure of faith. So some of us have faith to stand before the mountains, even though the Bible says we all can. We've been given the power, but we don't all walk in the power that we have. But all of us don't have the same measure of faith. Now, somebody might say that seems like a respect a person, but it's not. We're God's children. We have been engrafted in to be the sons of God. So therefore, it is God's kingdom we're in. It ain't our kingdom. You didn't establish no preacher, no apostle, no evangelist, no teacher, no bishop. None of us established the kingdom or built it. All members, and members in particular. You know? And we are all only in it because we've been called and chosen and predestinated and elected. So we can't brag. We can't boast. I'm so sick of mankind thinking that he is something when he is nothing. We all have got a taste of the glorious heavenly calling. And we all then dare to try and make ourselves to be something when we're nothing. That ain't where I wanted to go tonight. But evidently, God has a purpose. Pride, I read to you 2 or 3 weeks ago, Proverbs chapter 6, starting at verse 16. and about the six things that God hates. But let me tell you, three of the six things kept coming back to being lies. But the rest of them all around pride. Pride is a very ungratefulness, unholiness. We think holiness is just how a person dresses. But the Bible say, I am holy because the Holy One lives in me. I don't have to wait to get holy. I'm a saint. I don't understand why people don't understand their position in God. We are saints. All the letters are to saints. I'm so sorry, I'm hoarse. But if you would study the word and apply the word to yourself, the good, the bad, and the ugly. The ugly say a man ought not to think of himself more highly than he is. That's what the words say. And if you have tasted that God is good, you'll automatically know. It's impossible. Oh, yes, my little flesh might tell me occasionally because the anointing flow that I'm something. But I got enough sense and wisdom at this 72 years of life to know I have nothing, nothing the Lord God didn't give me, you know, and that I am thankful and grateful for every minute of these 72 years that I've had. And if by some chance my time would be up, God didn't even owe me this many. So I'm grateful, and I'm gloriously happy. I just don't believe my time is up because I still have a lot to do. But believe me, it is more better for me to be absent from this body and to be present with the Lord than to be sweat stale down here listening to y'all's president every day on the TV. That I pray for, that I do pray that God will quicken him. That would be a lovely thing for God to quicken him, Ephesians chapter 2. And you have he quickened, he made alive. You were dead. I don't know why people refuse to accept. Just because you got blood running in your body and your heart's beating and your mind and you're breathing, that don't mean you're alive. If you don't know Jesus in the pardon of your sins, if you haven't been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, ye are dead in your sins and trespasses. Hallelujah. And so that's what we wish, not only for the president and the leaders of the country, all them evangelicals and people who say they are Christians who live worse than heathens. And I ain't talking about they lying, stealing, and all those attributes that they live worse than heathens. I'm talking about their heart. Their heart has proven that they're worse than heathens. You know, Paul wrote a letter to the Corinthians. He said, and I think it's a 7. I'm just don't quote me on it. But I mean, you can quote me on it, but I can't tell you exactly where it is. But he said that they were doing things that even the world haven't done. But the evangelicals, and they call themselves the right. They have called themselves. Appointing themselves higher than the other people. Tell you why. Because they say that they represent God. But how can you represent God when you hate? How can I represent God when I wish evil on the people that are the poor? How can I represent God just because I have a mansion I live in, and I have a Rolls Royce sitting outside of my house and money running over in my banks. I don't have all that stuff, but if I had all that, why would that make me superior to you? But the joke, my friend, is that these people say they got pure white Aryan blood. Now, I want you to know the blood about the blood. Not they blood. Because, first of all, when I do challenge anybody out there that's listening to me, to find me the scripture that talks about Aryan blood. Oh,
yeah.
That's got to be the greatest joke in the world. The greatest joke in the world. Let me tell you, I want you to show me Aryan blood. Even Jesus himself, who is God, manifested in the flesh, didn't have Aryan blood. Because you know there ain't no such thing as Aryan blood. And if, even by chance, if there was such a thing as Aryan blood, if there was such a thing as Aryan blood, it would not be of any value. It would not have any purpose. It is dung. It would be dung because male nor female, black nor white, nor any other thing has any power or standing with anything other than the precious blood of Jesus. That's the only blood that makes us something. And that blood still don't make us much. I mean, it doesn't make me superior. That's what I'm trying to say. To be, there is no higher blood than the blood of Jesus. And I've been washed in that blood. And I'm not an Aryan, thank God. And I'm not an evangelical. That's another one that's not even in the word. Evangelical is not in the word of God. We know the word evangelist is in the word, but not evangelical. To call yourself, for people to be able to call themselves a group of evangelicals, that wasn't God's name. And the God's order was, my people shall be called by my name. So find it. I love truth. I hate lies. I hate deception. And the church, the so-called quote-unquote church, have been lying for centuries and centuries and centuries. And they have taken the word of God and made, they call themselves justifying of slavery in the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, it Paul tells us, if you are called in bondage, don't seek it. But if it happens to you, then receive it, But it wasn't talking about the kind of slavery that America, the great America, did to my forefathers before. But praise be to God for the Holy Ghost and the blood of Jesus Christ and the perfect, perfect sacrifice, which did not shed no Aryan blood. I want to remind you that all the time because it's such a joke. There was no such thing as Aryan blood. There is no such thing as black blood or white blood or Chinese blood. It's all blood that got to run through the heart, pump it, and feed the brain and feed the rest of the body. This is a temporary state that we're in with the blood It ain't Aryan. It ain't no pure such, and it ain't such thing. So, but we bought the lies. We bought the lies, and we've even allowed these people to call themselves the light. The light. Call people what they are, liars. They are liars. There's nothing right about the so-called right. You know? The only right is Jesus Christ. The only right just is those he had bought and purposed and made the perfect sacrifice for. You know? So that's why I can read Revelation chapter 14:13-8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life. Now, do y'all understand that? Do you understand who that's talking about?
Yes.
It's talking about Satan, y'all, not God. This verse, Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, ain't talking about Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. There we go again with that word. And I beheld another beast, Revelation 13:11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven
to
earth in the sight of men. I'm at Revelation 13, started at verse 7, all the way down to 13:13 I'm at now. And he doth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of me. Boy, oh boy. And he deceiveth. This is what I was talking about, y'all. The lies. There's nothing but one word that goes with deceit. Lie. L-I-E. Lie. He deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Verse 15. And he had power to give. Now listen here. Listen at this, you guys. We are not talking about God here. We're talking about the devil and his people. It sounds good, the things I'm saying, but this ain't God I'm talking about. This is the if you remember where I read started from, I read that verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth worship him whose names are not written. Not, that's the most important word, not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. These are the kind of people that's going to worship, that are really now worshiping him, believe it or not. You know,
amen.
The Bible, they really worshiping him now. And they use religion and the doctrines of men, teaching and commandments of men, they use that to deceive you all. But the Bible tells us, if your name has been written in the Lamb's book of life, that you won't be deceived. You won't be lied to. You'll be lied to, but you won't receive them lies of this here, this devil. This whole chapter is talking about the dragon.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that? I did not start at verse 1. I should have started at verse 1. But my time is almost up. And I went to 15, and he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bound, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. Verse 17. And that no man might buy or sell. And the word say means accept. Except he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath an understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. And 666. That is 666. And that's all talking about the devil and religions, and false prophets, false teachers. And it's telling you, you can't go by the power that the person's going to exemplify. This is telling you, you will be deceived if you say, oh, they must be of God because they got power. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. You must believe the word of God. You must surrender your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and ask God. The Bible says we have not because we ask not. Ask God for wisdom. Ask God for discernment. The Bible tells us in Hebrews that the Spirit himself is a discerner of thoughts and intents. What a man intend to do to you, what a person intend. The Spirit himself. And if you will read the Gospels, you'll see that Jesus knew their thoughts. The Holy Spirit know other people's thoughts. And he's able to reveal to you what other people are thinking. I'm here to tell you I've lived it. I ain't talking about what I'm guessing. I've been there, done that. The Holy Spirit did it through me and told me what the people was thinking. He will do it to you and for you. And I'm sure he's probably already done it for a lot of you that's on this line. But I just wanted to give you a taste of what's to come. And don't be deceived No, because they done picked out a few little things they're against. Abortion, I'm against abortion. I'm against homosexuality. I'm against liars. I'm against thieves. I'm against deception. I'm against hate. I'm against division. I'm against every ungodliness. I abhor all of that, even if it's any in me, I abhor it. Because I love what God loves. And God has came. And the Ephesians chapter 2 say, and such was some of you. We were all something before we got saved and became translated out of the kingdom of darkness. But now are we the sons of God. And you know the rest of the scripture in Thessalonians. It does not yet appear what we shall be. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Let me pray before I go. Almighty Father God, I ask you to bless the body of Christ all over the world, from the least to the greatest, from them that think they are great and to them that think they are nothing. Almighty God, I ask you to send your Holy Spirit freely all over this world and zap the souls and the hearts of mind of all of them that hunger and thirst after righteousness and you, Lord. Oh, Lord God, bless the man of God who obeyed you to do this show. And everywhere we feet our feet tread, let the blessing of the Lord God follow us. And Almighty God, in the name of Jesus, bind every spirit of unrighteousness and ungodliness and unholiness that's around in our churches and in our religion, so-called. But God, reveal the truth and let the love of God reign supreme over every ungodliness, because you have given us authority in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And I do want to give y'all Numbers chapter 26. I want to leave you with blessing. Numbers chapter 26, and I think it is. In these 2 minutes, Numbers 26. I thank God for tonight, because I wasn't planning on going there. But I thank God, because I will fight against lies. I will fight against lies. I don't need to argue with you, but I do want you. I want people to be saved and not lost. I do want people to be saved and not lost. Numbers 26 was a blessing that God, and anybody who watches the Discovering the Jewish Jesus, he reads this blessing, but it's not just because he reads it. It's because it's a powerful blessing. It's a powerful, powerful blessing that God has promised us, it's better to bless a person. What did he say? Bless them that despitefully use you and curse you and say all manner of evil. That's what the Lord tells us to do. Bless them. And so that's what I want to leave you with, blessing. The Lord has said of them, they shall surely. What verse is that? I'm not finding it. Rosh Hashanah started yesterday for those who. It's on our calendars. It's on my calendar. Rosh Hashanah started. But I'll leave you with this. Bless you, bless you, bless you. And may the Lord's love that he has shed his pure blood rain heavily in your minds, hearts, souls, and body. In Jesus' name, I bid you good night.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, praise the living God. We now have a teacher from Dallas, Texas. Are you there?
Come on.
Go right ahead. You got it. Go right ahead and praise the living God.
I want to give honor to God and just thank him for the opportunity to come on the line. I know I always say that I'm going to just, you know, just have a few words. And I do have a few words. I thank God for tonight. I'm grateful to God, you know, for all that he does for me. You know, in everything that I see that God is doing, I am grateful. But tonight I just want to talk a little bit about the ways of the righteous. And that's, I'm going to be coming out of Psalms 1, the first three verses.
Mm-hmm.
In Psalms 1, the first three verses. I believe that in this day and time that we have to always, being believers in Christ Jesus, we have to always check ourselves to make sure that we all are living and doing the will of God and being righteous even before the sinners. So with that being said, the first verse says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel ungodly." Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now we know what the ungodly is, and we know how to pinpoint who the ungodly is. And the Word of God teaches us that we have a standard of living as being believers, and that the world has their way that they live, and there has to be a distinguish between the two. You can't be godly and think it's okay to do certain things. Now, even though here he tells us the godly don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, when we talk even about counsel, our first resort of counsel should always be from God. We should always ask God, you know, about problems or situations that arise in our life. Yeah, because you have somebody that you know that appears to be giving good advice, and you know that their lifestyle, and just speaking even for the younger generation, you know that you are trying to live a godly life. Sometimes you're gonna have to separate yourself from ungodly friends, because when you're trying to make that lifestyle, you're trying to make that change, you're turning from your wicked ways, you have to be able to turn from that way of life, that way of living, because if you don't, listening to your friends will cause you to err. Now, we know that sometimes when situation arise in our lives and we have friends that are ungodly, they will speak things to us that seems or appears to be a good thing. But is it a righteous thing that they're speaking of, that they're saying? Because a lot of times you'll hear them say, "Oh, it's okay, God will forgive you." But you know what is right. You know what the Word of God says concerning that situation or concerning what you're about to do. I can say that before I came back to the Lord, friends would tell me, "Girl, it's okay to go out with Bobo. It's okay to do this because God said, you know, He'll supply your every need, and you know you have a need. So we have to be careful who we're taking counsel from, because that ungodly counsel will cause us to lose the mark. And we want to always make sure that we're in good standing with God. The Bible, there are scriptures that tells us to seek godly advice. With godly wisdom comes godly counsel comes wisdom. So therefore, we know we should know how to distinguish godly wisdom from worldly wisdom, and we should always seek godly wisdom for whatever situation that occurs in our life, or whatever we're facing, or whatever we're going through. That's even going to professional counselors, because even professional counselors have their own style of counseling. So therefore, they may tell you something that's completely contrary to the word of God, and you find yourself doing what that worldly counselor tells you to do. You can find yourself in a situation that you'll be wondering, how did I get in this situation? I remember years ago, I had given some friends that were married some advice. I gave the wife separate advice than the husband, and talked to them and told them, you know, according to the word of God, you know, their situation. But they decided that they were going to go to a counselor, and that counselor told them things that I couldn't even believe that the counselor would tell them, and they started doing the things that the counselor told them to do. And they ended up in divorce and wondering, how did it get to that point? Because you didn't stick with the word of God. That's how it happened. If you would have stayed with the word of God, if you didn't think that the advice that I was giving you was not the advice according to the word of God, then your next thing you should have done was seek someone else within the church, or that's a licensed counselor that can give you that advice. But our first reserve should always to be seek godly advice. Seek godly advice. Said, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. There has to be a distinguishment between the righteous and the wicked. The righteous can be distinguished by the lifestyle and their association, and by the things in which they delight. So you have to, your lifestyle has to be different from that of the world. We can't mix up the two. Because when you mix up the two, there's no distinguish. Confusion comes into play. So there has to be a distinguishment between the two. It doesn't matter if you live in a household and everybody in the household is unsaved. And they may have a family gathering. But in that family gathering, because you live your life separately from their lifestyle, they're going to distinguish who you are, your lifestyle, and they're going to respect it. But if you see them over sitting in a corner drinking and smoking and telling jokes and stuff like that there, and you joining in, there's no distinguishment. There's no respect. They're not going to respect you, because then they're going to look at you as a hypocrite, because they're going to see the way that they know you're supposed to live, and they're going to line you up with that, because your family members know who you are, including friends, and that includes even strangers. There should always be a distinguish between your lifestyle, your association, who you hang out with, what you allow to go around, allow to happen or go on in your atmosphere. You know, being a believer myself, you can't come in my house if you smoke. You can't come in my house all boozy and drunk. That's a distinguished. That's who I am. That's what I believe. You can't come around me doing a lot of cursing. That's who I am. And and people who are not saved, they respect it. I remember a time when I was at work and they was going to go to a happy hour. And they said, well, Jackie, we would invite you to come to happy hour, but, you know, we know that, you know, you saved and everything. And I said, no, I'm not going to go to happy hour if I can't bring Jesus with me. So there's a distinguished, people know who you are by your lifestyle. And you ain't got to blow a trumpet and tell anybody that you're a believer. They'll know by your association, by your lifestyle. You ain't got to go around tooting no horn, preaching the gospel down the street or anything like that. They'll know who you are by your distinction, by your lifestyle, by your character. It said, but his delight is in the Lord, and in his law do he meditate day and night. As believers, even in this day and time, we have to have the word of God. We have to take the word of God with us wherever we go. In every situation, we have to have the word of God before us. It is important that we read the word of God on a day-to-day basis, that we take the word of God, that we meditate on it, because that word should become us. So when situations arise in our life, that word is going to come before you. When things occur, that word is going to come before you. God going to bring his word before you to comfort you, to let you know, hey, I'm here. You know, here's a word. You know, so and if we don't take the word of God and meditate on it day and night, when situations happen in our life, they occur in our life, then we ain't going to know what to do. That's when we start seeking counsel from everybody. And we take everybody else's word but God's word for what he's saying about your situation. When we take the word of God and read the word of God, we're to examine the word of God. And we're supposed to say, okay, is God speaking to me through his word? Is God issuing me a command that I should obey? Is my spirit in harmony with what the Spirit is saying? What is God saying about my situation, my lifestyle? Is my lifestyle pleasing God? According to his word, God is going to tell you, according to his word, where you are. He'll take you through the scriptures. And whatever situation you're going through in life, God will take you through the scriptures and let that scripture become you. So therefore, it is important that we are to meditate. We're supposed to take the word of the word of God wherever we go. Take his word with us. And he shall be planted like a tree. And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers. Not a river, but rivers of water that bring forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, he shall prosper. And here it is, he's telling us that we should be like a tree. If we meditate upon the word of God and we abide in God's word and his word abide in us, then we'll be like a tree planted by the river of the water that bring forth again fruit in his season. So therefore, you know, the Bible tells us in the New Testament, Jesus tells us that we are the branches and we should bring forth fruit. And if we don't bring forth fruit, what? We're chopped down. If we don't bring forth fruit, we're not good for anything. So therefore, our lives should be an example of the fruit. Somebody should be able to see you as a righteous and be able to say, okay, that's a good tree. I can go and pick fruit from that tree. You should always have fruit growing. You should always be able to, somebody should always be able to come in and eat from you. And it should always be godly fruit. To have that fruit that constantly grows, it keeps you from being lukewarm. You know, it keeps you, you know, motivated. The word of God keeps you motivated. You know, you want to grow. There is no age limit on learning and growing. That should be a vision that we should have as believers in Christ Jesus, is to daily grow, to daily learn something new. And that way we'll have something to give. You know, even having small children or having grandchildren or even having nieces and nephews, having different family members, you know, when they're in situations, you know, and everything, you know, they can come to you, they can come and pick, they can come and glean from you, and they'd be so excited. They could say, hey, I know who I can go to and get a real word from. You know, I hear people say, you know, I know who can get a prayer through to God, because they see your lifestyle. They know that they can come and pick a fruit from the tree. You should never have fruit that has withered, because you're constantly growing. You're constantly learning. It's a constant thing, you know. And I'm just thankful for the Word of God, because the Word of God teaches, you know. And it said, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. There's blessings, you know, coming. You know, the Bible tells us in, I think it's in the book of Deuteronomy, there are blessings and there are curses. Blessings for being obedient and curses for being disobedient. And being believers, you know, we should want to prosper in our way. We should want to see ourselves prosper. We should pray and ask God to prosper us, not in big things, just in big things, but even in the small things, because those small things are worth just as much as those big things. So just to prosper, say, God, you know, I just want to prosper in learning your word. I want to just prosper, God, in being able to teach your word, God. I just want to prosper, God, in praise. I want to prosper in worship. I want to prosper, God. So we should have that lifestyle, that godly lifestyle, the way of the righteous. You know, the Bible teaches us throughout the scripture. There are scriptures in the book of Proverbs that tells us, you know, or teaches us about counsel. You know, we don't want to make sure that we're not in a position that where we're being scornful. You know, Webster defines scorn for is scornful as a person full of scorn. And so a scorned person is a person that it says a feeling that someone or something is not worthy of any respect or approval. Harsh criticism that shows a lack of respect or approval for someone or something. You know, when we make sure that we are living according to the Word of God, we'll value everybody's life, because we'll see them as a soul. We'll see them as an individual. And no matter how a person may treat us, being in the Word of God and not walking in the ways of the ungodly, in the counsel of the ungodly, we'll see that individual as a person that needs God. It's going to cause you to pray for that person. It's going to cause you to have empathy for a person. It's going to show you to have love for a person, irregardless of how a person may treat you. Every person has a soul, and we have to look at a person in their ways as to why is that person the way that they are. A person can be ugly. They can be, you know, you as a believer, and that is a ugly disposition to be in, is to be a believer and be scornful, not thinking that anybody should be respected, or you're looking down on another individual because that individual may not be lining up with your standards. with your standards, but we have to treat a person. We have to treat a person the same way that God treats us. God said in his word, he said, with love and kindness have I drawn thee. So we have to watch who we associate ourselves with. And Webster talks about the defines a scorner. A mocker is to laugh at or to make fun of someone or something, especially by copying an action or ways of behaving or speaking to criticize and laugh at someone or something for being bad, worthless, or unimportant. And so we know that the Bible tells us that mockers are going to be judged. So therefore, we have to make sure that we, again, do a self-check on ourselves and watch our own behavior. And we need to be honest with ourselves and say, do I have any characteristics of a scornful person? Am I a scornful person? Am I a person that mocks and makes fun, pokes fun? You know, nowadays they call it bullying. And believers are not supposed to be bullies. So therefore, we got to make sure that we're not laughing at somebody's behavior, because a person's behavior, they can be not hip the way that they are. This Sunday in youth ministry was my time to be in youth ministry, and there was a young lady there, and she was just kept rocking back in the seat real hard, and I knew that this young lady had a behavior problem. So I asked the other youth leader, I said, what is her story? That way, if I saw any other children laughing or saying anything toward her, I can correct it. And she said, well, she has autism. And I said, okay, I wanted to know her story for myself. And no child made fun of her or anything like that. So we as believers, we have to make sure that we're not poking, we're not making fun, that we're not exhibiting those type of behaviors. So we have to do a self-check. We have to walk in the way of righteousness, you know, and we have to strive to live that lifestyle as believers. And I'm done for tonight. Thank you.
I tell you, God has been so good. We got a few people on the line. Anybody got a question they want to say, a statement or something what God has done for you this day? Amen. And I want to thank God tonight for us being able to be on the radio tonight. And I believe what God is doing, he's got this generation that's going to obey him. We're going to follow his rules. And I like where you come from, the book of Psalms. Blessed. That was a great blessing for me. So I ask one more time, anybody got a statement or a question or remark they want to make tonight? If not, we want to say we love you and we thank God for you. One more time. And I
well,
say,
Dr.
What,
Hunter,
go
Dr.
ahead.
Turner, praise the Lord. I enjoyed what I heard. As always, I apologize for being late. I checked my email late. But I am glad to get on and to hear what I did hear. The question I would like to ask is, who was the speaker?
Speaker?
I'm Jackie from Dallas, Texas.
Okay. I just wanted to know, she sounds so much like one of the mothers from the church that I came from. But I'm encouraged by your words. Psalms 1 is, it's, you know, I got so many favorite scriptures, but I love that one because of the way that it starts off with telling you that you were blessed. Excuse me?
Somebody in the background. Go ahead, sister. Doctor.
Okay, well, you know, because the first verse is the key to the whole Psalms 1, and it just says, blessed is the man that walketh not. So
not.
It says walk, you know, walk it not in the counsel of the ungodly. So in other words, you got to be careful to what you allow to come to your ear. That's why gossip is a sin. So it says don't walk with in the counsel of the ungodly. Why? Because they cannot tell you the things of God. And so, and it says, nor stand in the way of sinners. Don't walk with them. Don't stand with them, because we know that if you stand, that you're being still. And if you're being still, that means that you are attentive to what they are saying. And if you become attentive to what they're saying, then either they, most, if they're talking, they're going to sway you. Because if you stand there and listen to somebody talking ungodly things, then that stuff is being sown into your spirit. So God says don't walk with them, don't stand with them, and then it goes on to say don't sit with them. And I say it's a progress, it's a progression, you know, that God warns us, look, don't walk with them, because the Bible says in the New Testament, how can two walk together unless they agree? So if you're walking in the counsel of the ungodly, then you're going to pick up ungodly things, because the Bible says you're either going to serve one and hate the other, or hate the other and serve the other one. And so that first verse is very important, because, and then he goes on down to contrast, you know, what's for the blessed and what's for the ungodly, you know. And if you've ever seen tree roots, you got to see the tree roots. And I've had the opportunity to actually see the tree roots. And if you see the roots, how they branch out, how they, the tree looks like it's standing just in your yard. But when they have to cut down a tree and dig up that hole, and you see all those roots going in, it looks like thousands of different directions, and it is. But that's why it's hard to uproot a tree. And that's what God wants us to be. He don't want us to be just tossed and thrown by the different waves and the currents that come our way. He wants us to be rooted in his word. And if we get rooted in his word, then we'll be able to stand and be able to choose the right counsel that we should be in. And it's not with the ungodly person, although we have to approach the ungodly, and that is to give them the message of the gospel. But are we to keep company with them? No, because I heard it said that we got to live a life, and we have to let our light so shine that men will see and want to understand, and then we will be able to glorify the Father and tell them what our hope is, that our hope is in Christ Jesus. And so I thank you for that message. I thank you for the clarification. And I just wanted to add that, because I use that Psalm 1 a lot, because people need to understand that if you keep company, or like they say, one bad apple can spoil the whole barrel. And it can, because you will start gravitating in the other direction if you keep company with the ungodly. And you might not want to, and you think you are strong enough. That's why the Bible, when God sent them, he sent them two by two, because you need a backup. And so we need to know that we need each other. We need each other. Sometimes you get the opportunity to witness in the grocery store or whatever alone. You don't have time to take somebody with you. But when you're on a mission for the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you go out with your evangelistic team or your foot soldiers or whatever, you need to take more than one. And no one person is going to know everything. So it's best to have the two witnesses so that what you don't know, the other one can know. And the other one might have the testimony that will draw, you know, that leads and that will make them inquisitive so that you will be able to open up your conversation and talk about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So thank you so much, Minister from Dallas. I really enjoyed you, the part that I heard. Dr. Hunter, I apologize to you and the ministry and the work that you're doing, but I just did not check my email until later, but as soon as I got, I said, let me get on, because I know that the word is going to be going forth, and no matter what, I always need some encouragement. I can stand, but I still need that encouragement, you know, to help me to stand. I can't stand by myself, and I have no place to try to tell you that I can make it all by myself. You know, that would be giving the devil some credit, because I can't do it. We all need each other. And so thank you for this opportunity to be able to express my love for the Lord and the change that he has made in my life. So thank you all very much.
Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Well, I want to say this much. Sometimes I hear a lot of background, but I ask you to show respect to the person that's speaking or saying something. And we just want to give God the glory. And I'll say once again, I love you, I love you, I love you. Until next time, the peace of God be with you. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.